January the 9th, we have 7 games. We have the return of Ja Morant. We have another Terry Rozier dud. Chris Boucher, sort of out of nowhere. Some good games, some not so good games. Let's get into it. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, anywhere, everywhere you consume that fantasy basketball content. Please go and find us and like us and subscribe to us. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 7 games to go through. I use Basketball Monster primarily. I also use hashtag basketball for rankings and all sorts of things. And I usually, one of the things I do when I'm sort of putting together headlines and who I'm talking about, that sort of thing, I go and look at just the ranks from today. And I know Josh does something similar to this on his show, and he gets the things from Basketball Monster as well, obviously. But I thought maybe I'll just run through the top few performers for the day just by name, because I'm going to talk about them when we do the box scores. Darius Garland was the best performer today. No Donovan Mitchell, that helped. Followed by Jaren Jackson, PJ Washington. We've had a bit of chatter about him the last few days. Chris Boucher, who we will talk about. Fred VanVleet. Derek Lively. Maybe we'll do top 10. Derek Lively, Bradley Beal, Jarrett Allen, Cade Cunningham. That's how many? 9? Goga Badadze was the 10th. So that's just the top 10 performing players for today. All right, let's get into these games and then we will get into the questions. All right, first game of the night, Minnesota at Orlando. Orlando obviously still very under strength, no Paolo Banchero. The Timberwolves get the win. They've now won 3 in a row, I believe, 104-89. For the Wolves, it wasn't all Anthony Edwards. Today, he still took a lot of shots. He tried his best. 21 points on 5 of 19 shooting. The 7 assists are encouraging, trying to get his teammates involved a little bit. He had 2 steals as well. We had a nice Julius Randle performance, 23-10-2 with a block. Perfect 6 of 6 from the line. So very nice if you have Randle on your team. McDaniels, we always talk about him as very hit or miss streamer. Rudy Gobert was the 12 rebounds are good. No blocks. He had a steal. Still pretty meh, but it's fine. DiVincenzo had 12-4 with 2 steals in 24 minutes. We're holding him. I think so. Yes, I think we're holding him. Mike Conley had 9-4-2 with 2 steals off the bench. I don't think we need to hold him. He probably going to be viewed as more of a streamer moving forward, I think. He could play more in the playoffs, but that doesn't impact us, obviously. We're only looking at the regular season. For the Magic, they will get Paolo Banchero back tomorrow, so we can throw some of this out of the window. Goga, as I said, he was one of the better performing players tonight. He had 15-8 with 2 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. Like I said in the pregame, I wasn't too worried about Wendell coming for his minutes. I thought that was more of an outlier or a couple of outliers, and this would indicate that Goga has that starting position locked up. We will see tomorrow when Paolo is back what the rotation looks like here. Wendell Carter only played 18 minutes off the bench. He had 8-6. I don't think we need to roster him at the moment. Tristan Da Silva had 6-9. I think as of tomorrow, we can probably move on from him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope I think he might be a hold. 13 points, 2 assists, a steal and a block, 3 threes. His role won't change in terms of playing time. So I think he is okay. Cole Anthony is probably okay as well, because Suggs is not back in the, for the foreseeable future. So I think I'd hold Cole Anthony. He will be pretty sporadic, though, especially with Paolo coming back. And Caleb Houston, we don't need to roster him either. That's really it. Anthony Black, only 10 minutes, even with Suggs out, is not a good sign. So I don't think we need to prioritize him anywhere. Second game of the night, Golden State, hard-fought victory, but a good one over the Pistons, who had been playing well, 107 to 104. Pistons came back late, so the minutes were a little bit wonky here because they went with some hot hands. But let's start with the Warriors. Steph Curry, again, this is what we're seeing with him. We are seeing some holes in his game, which we haven't seen sort of for the last decade. He had 17 points. He had 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. So numbers are good, but 5 of 21 from the field is not good. But we just have to learn to live with it, I think. This is the new norm for Steph Curry. Trayce Jackson had a decent performance here, 14 and 10. No defensive stats, but we're rostering him. Buddy Hield may be starting to come out of his slumber, 19 points with 5 threes. He won't do much else. But with Wiggins out and Kuminga out, Hield is probably worth holding. Green, Draymond Green, this is, again, what he does. He gets you everything but points. So if that fits your build, that's fine. Schroeder had 13 and 6 with a steal and a block. That's enough, but I still don't view him as a long-term must-roster player. Gui Santos, 13 points off the bench, 2 steals, 5 rebounds, 4 threes. God, if you saw this coming, congratulations, because I did not. I wouldn't be rushing to add him. This feels like an outlier, maybe the biggest outlier of the season, but we will see. He did look good. So maybe he is someone to monitor, but I don't think so at this point. For the Pistons, as I said, the minutes were a little wonky here, especially when it comes to Asar Thompson. So he started and looked fine. 9 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. 17 minutes, he was sort of pulled midway through the third quarter, not just a rotation decision. And then, as I said, the Pistons just got hot late and pulled this game back. And so they just stuck with the players that happened to be on the court while that was happening. And that was not Asar Thompson. It was Simone Fontecchio. Fontecchio didn't do anything, but he was just playing as part of a competitive lineup. So not interested in Fontecchio. I would hold Asar Thompson. Tobias Harris, not his best game, but 13, 4, and 4 with a block. That will do. Jalen Duren started this game really well. He did slow a little, but 31 minutes is very encouraging. He had 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and a steal. So I'm pretty happy with that if I have Duren. Malik Beasley didn't shoot particularly well, but 21 points, 4 threes. We keep him in there if you're just looking for points and threes. And, the minutes were up a little bit here. Holland played 20, but I'm not interested in him. This was more of just a decision on the fly. Toronto head into Cleveland. They almost get the win. They pushed them, 132-126. Cleveland eventually get the win here for Toronto. Look, we had pretty good lines from the starters outside of Grady Dick. He might be a drop, I think. I'm trying to hold on as long as I can. He had 11 points in 21 minutes. And this was with no Agbaji, and no Bruce Brown, sorry, as well. So I think he'll continue to start. I don't think that's in any jeopardy here. So deeper leagues, I would definitely hold him because he'll play enough. Standard leagues, if you want to give him one more game, you could. I might in one league or two leagues, although come to think of it, that's a slightly deeper league. So I think I'm okay with moving on from him, keeping in mind that if Barrett goes down or if Quickly goes down or anything like that, Grady Dick would become a pretty quick add. As for those other guys, Barrett had 25 and 5 with two steals. Scotty Barnes, 24, 10 and 8 with three steals. Quickly, 10 and 7. The assists are nice. He just didn't shoot the ball a lot here. So could be a little bit of a buy low opportunity for Quickly if you're interested in him. Jakob Poeltl had 17, 7 and 6 with three steals and two blocks. So very nice game for him matching up against the size of Cleveland. And Chris Boucher, I said he had 23 and 12 with a steal and a block off the bench. Now, are we adding Chris Boucher? No, we are not. It's just a fun heading to put in the title of the show. His minutes here had a direct impact on Grady Dick because they went with Chris Boucher as a closer. And against Cleveland, that is not surprising because, as I said, they are one of the bigger teams. So I think this is just an outlier. Chris Boucher had really done nothing leading up to this. So if you did happen to stream him in, I think congratulations are in order, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just falls off the radar completely in the next game. If you want to hold him and just see if this turns into something, especially if Agbaji misses more time, then I think that's fine. He is a good permanent producer at times, Chris Boucher. So, yeah. Take a flyer if you want to, but I don't see this as a sustainable thing. For Cleveland, with no Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland stepped up. He had 40 and 9 with two steals. Caris LeVert got the start. He had 18, 3 and 5. That was, if you streamed him in today, which we talked about, both he and Struce and Ty Jerome were options for streaming today. I streamed Struce in over LeVert, and I'm not disappointed. I'm not ecstatic. LeVert had the better line, but I thought Struce was all right. He had 12 points with four threes and a steal. I still think that Struce, if we're looking longer term or next 2 weeks when Donovan Mitchell is back, I still think Struce is probably the priority over LeVert just, but it does depend on what you need a little bit. Mobley was good. Jared Allen was good. As for Ty Jerome, he had 8 points with two steals, so didn't really give us what we wanted tonight. And I would assume that Donovan Mitchell will be back in the next game, so we don't need to look at Ty Jerome anywhere. Sorry, I'm having a sneaky beer for a Friday afternoon. Because why not? Portland up against Dallas. Dallas, they get the win eventually. They made hard work of it. For Portland, Denny Avdia, he called way off in this one. 9 points, 8 rebounds and 4 assists. Still a pretty strong hold, 34 minutes, so he'll be fine. Tamani Kamara, I feel like we don't really need to talk about him. He just does enough every night. 11, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 threes. As long as he's playing 30 minutes, we roster him. We'll talk about the center rotation in a minute. Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe are both playing quite well at the moment, so keep rolling with them. If you want to try and sell high, if you're concerned that they're going to be shut down, then now might be a nice time to do that. Scoot Henderson, I've talked about him as a must-roster player despite some underwhelming performances. This was not underwhelming. 20 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, 12 of 12 from the line. The minutes are still not, we'd love to see over 30. He seems to be more in that 26 to 28 range. So I think it could get better, but he's doing enough to be rostered. As for the center rotation, DeAndre Ayton started. He had 6 and 6 with 2 blocks, 1 steal in 21 minutes. Donovan Klingon out of nowhere had 11 and 11 with 2 blocks in 24 minutes. So the question here is, is this the start of something or is this just an outlier? I think it's just an outlier at this point. There's been no indication from Portland that they are going to play Klingon more than Ayton. I do think it will happen at some point, but I don't think it's happening now. I think this was just rotation on the spot kind of a decision. Klingon was playing well. I dropped him this morning. Of course I did. I'm not too worried. If this is a trend and we see this a minute split or something like that for the next week, then I would probably go and add Klingon. But prior to this, it had been 12 to 14 minutes a night. So, yeah, unless we get something from the team or more of a sample size, I don't think that we're adding Donovan Klingon just yet. For Dallas, PJ Washington, we've talked, people have sort of been, do we hold or, well, not do we hold, but do we hold him over certain players or that sort of thing? I think he has to be held. And this is evidence of why, 23 and 14 with three steals and one block. Now, this is a very good PJ line. He does have some bad ones, but his ability to chip in across multiple categories, even if he doesn't shoot the ball well, like he didn't here, 11 of 11 from the line is not something we're going to see every day. So you take that. So yes, clear hold. Najee Marshall, 11 and 4, two rebounds. It's not great, but I think he is also a hold as long as Luka and Kyrie are out. Derek Lively, I moved him into my starting lineup thinking you're up against DeAndre Ayton and you're going to have a big game, and he did. 21 and 16 with three blocks. Dinwiddie, this is fine. 17, 5 and 5, he should be rostered. Quentin Grimes, likewise, 13, 4 and 4 with a steal. He should be rostered. Klay Thompson, I think he's a hold, but this is not good. 3 points in 22 minutes. He had been better than this, but he certainly hasn't taken any steps forward with these, with the rotation sort of stretched a bit. We thought he'd do more, and he just hasn't. It's been Dinwiddie, it's been Grimes, and it's been Jaden Hardy. Is Jaden Hardy an ad? That is a very good question. Now, I'm just going to pull up his... where is he? There he is. I'm just going to pull up his box scores. So I was having a look. I'm in the middle of writing my waiver wire article. And spoiler, Najee Marshall is in it. Max Strus is in it. Jaden Hardy is in it. Malik Beasley is in it. So a lot of guys that played tonight. Jaden Hardy, the last five games. So he's had 25 points, 15 points, 15 points, 17 points, 11 points. Tonight was a little bit of an outlier, I think, because the minutes were up. He had been hovering around 22. I think he just had a hot hand here. They went with him over Clay down the stretch. So I wouldn't expect 30 minutes and 25 points from him. But he has been a consistent double-digit scorer. Deeper leagues, I would definitely be adding him. Standard leagues, if he fits your build, if you just need guard stats, I don't mind taking a little flyer on him just to see what happens. Dan Gafford returned, played 10 minutes. He had three blocks. He is really just a streamer at this point, I believe. All right. What have we got? Two more games? Maybe three. Houston at Memphis. Rockets get the win. It was a physical game, 119-115. Really good match. I'd love to see this as a playoff matchup somehow, whether it's first round or second round. I think it'd be really fun with both teams healthy. For Houston, Amen Thompson, he was in a bit of foul trouble in this one. He just really never got going. 10, 7, and 5 with a steal and a block. So it's still not a terrible line, but he had been better than this, and I think he will be. Dylan Brooks, he brooksed all over your, or Lou Dortered all over your box score. 5 points on 2 of 15 shooting. This is the risk if you're holding him. He has these games from time to time. Şengün was very good. Van Fleet was better in this one. Jalen Green, also a strong night for him. So all three of those guys, we're pretty happy with their production. Jayshon Tate had 12. He's an angry man. I was watching him play. He gets angry a lot. 12 points, one steal. I'm not really interested in him. I think he's going to be in the rotation while Tari Eason is out and while Jabari Smith is out. But I don't see him as anything but a deeper league guy. And Cam Whitmore, he had three steals. He shot the ball a lot, 9 points on 3 of 14 shooting. It is, the more you watch him play, it is easier to see why Houston don't want to throw him into a big, sizable role. Because he is a little bit Julius Randle-y. He doesn't, once he gets the ball, it's a bit of a black hole. A few times during the game, he dribbled into traffic and basically turned the ball over or threw to someone who was in an unfortunate position and had to fire up a bad shot. So, yeah, I just don't think, and obviously the team sees this, and maybe his words about his spot in the rotation and stuff irked some people, which probably did. So I don't see him stepping into a big enough role to be rosterable. Can be streamed, though, if you need points. For Memphis, Ja Morant returned, looked pretty good, 27-3-3 with a steal in 29 minutes. So I think we're rolling him out. No word of minutes restrictions here, but I would say he was probably on a little bit of a minutes restriction. So his return impacted Jalen Wells. He only had 4 points on 5 shot attempts. So I think Wells will trend towards being a drop. Honestly, I'd rather have Luke Kennard, Santi Aldama over him. Jack Edey, another pretty ordinary performance by him, 4 points, 1 block in 18 minutes. He did have foul trouble. So again, just really couldn't get any rhythm. They went with Brandon Clark. They went with Jay Huff. And that's the issue for Edey here, is that they have 3 viable centers, all of whom bring different things to the court. So it will be a matchup. I think Edey will start moving forward, but his minutes will go from like what we saw here, 18 up to 28. So I think we hold him, but you're just going to have to ride this out. As for Kennard and Aldama, minutes in the mid-20s, both were reasonably productive. Kennard got you 3 threes, 2 assists. Aldama would be the preference still, but I don't think he's going to be that player we saw earlier in the season, but he had 12-9 with a steal in this one. So he's okay, I think, as a back-end rosterable guy. Brandon Clark, he also had foul trouble. He did foul out. That sounds weird. He did foul out in this one. He had 8-4 with 2 steals. So per minute was decent. I think this is where he'll hover, though, in the 20 minutes per game range. And Scottie Pippen, ooh, this was rough. 0 points on 0 shot attempts, 2 assists, 1 steal. Now, obviously, the return of Ja Morant is the big storyline here and will impact Scottie Pippen, but we talked about him in the pregame show as being a sort of a handcuff if you can get away with it. He will be better than this. I feel like this was just, it was a bad game for him. So I think if you're holding him, I'd give him another couple of games. Who's messaging me constantly? Oh, it's my basketball team. So yes, I would hold Scottie Pippen where possible. At least for another game or two. All right, where are we? Let's click on the right screen. Miami at Utah. Good win for the Heat. Any win for the Heat is good at this point, 97-92. For Miami, Jaime Jaquez, talked about him and Nikola Jovic as streamable guys. And I think I said I would slightly go Jaquez because he's starting. I hope I did. He had 27-7 with 2 steals. Now, again, won't be this good, but if he's playing 30-plus minutes, I think he just has to be rostered. Jovic had 11-6-5 with a block. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well, 4 of 13. If he goes 6 of 13 or 7 of 13 and maybe hits one other three, this is like 18-6-5. So I think Jovic is probably someone we're rostering as well. I'd have both of them over Highsmith, despite the fact that Highsmith is starting. And let's just move on from Terry Rozier. He is just done, I think, 9 points, 3 rebounds. I know he's starting. I know he's playing minutes. And at some point, he is going to click and have a 28-point game. But I don't think you can hold through this crap. Khalil Ware, we've talked a lot about him. I really like him, but this is probably him topping out at about 19 to 20 minutes. He had 8-7 with 2 blocks and a steal, which in deeper leagues is okay. Standard leagues, we're not there yet. Duncan Robinson, 0 points in 18 minutes. He is just a 3-point streamer. Okay, Utah. Weird-looking box score, as you can see, for those watching. It is weird. Lauri Markkanen, he hit 6 threes. He shot a lot, 24 shot attempts for 23 points. Didn't do much else. Colin Sexton, he was good, 23 points with 5 assists. Shot about 50%. This is the Colin Sexton we know, good from the free throw line, gets some assists, and relatively efficient for a guard. Beyond those guys, though, there's not a lot here. Walker Kessler had 15 rebounds with two blocks, and that is fine for him. You're not relying on points there, 9 points on 4 of 5 shooting. Isaiah Collier, he's looking better as a point guard. The offense is still very raw, as we've talked about, but the assist numbers have been good. He had 9 assists here in this one, didn't get a steal. He's sort of a streamer, I think, now. If you need assists and steals, I think he is okay to look at. And then beyond those guys, Johnny Juzang, Michael Potter, Filipowski, Cody Williams, I think it's just going to be a mishmash of 20 minutes a night here and there. I'm not really interested in any of those guys. Paddy Mills had 9 points. I always have to mention Paddy Mills. And last game of the night, Atlanta at Phoenix. Good win for the Suns. Again, they would take any win at the moment. Atlanta, still no Jalen Johnson here. So we got Vete Krejci. I've talked about him, that I don't mind him as a player, but not really fantasy relevant. 12, 6 assists, a steal is fine, but typically not doing enough. Neither is Zachary Risacher. He had 5 points in his 19 minutes, so we don't need to be rostering those two guys. Clint Capella had 10 and 11 with 2 blocks. Like I said, they really just don't want to push him beyond this 25, 26-minute mark. Okongwu just needs to play better. This opportunity for him, it's here in front of him, and the more and more he struggles, the less confidence I have that he will reach that ceiling we thought he had. I'm probably still rostering Okongwu, I think, because that opportunity is there. If he plays well, he'll push to 28 minutes very quickly. So if you can exercise a little bit of patience here, I think he's a hold. DeAndre Hunter, 12 points. Shooting was a bit off. He had 2 steals. He is a hold as well. Bogdan Bogdanovic was much better in this one, and he has looked a little bit better the last week. 17 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. I'd probably go and add him. At least while Jalen Johnson is out. And then as for Trae Young and Dyson Daniels, Trae, the assists were down here. That happens when you're relying on others to score. We've talked about this. It is a category that relies on other players. So they do fluctuate a little bit, but he still had 21 points, 7 assists and a steal. And Dyson Daniels had 13, 4 and 3 with 3 steals. So again, exactly what we want from Dyson Daniels. So no complaints from me at all. Phoenix continuing with their new starting lineup. Ryan Dunn, only 16 minutes here. They went to Allen, who finally, I've been talking him up as someone you need to hold this week. Finally, he actually proved me right. He had 23 points with 5 threes and remains a hold for this week. Dunn, I think if you want to hold, he's been a little bit underwhelming. He's all right, but I'm not enamored with him. I don't think you have to hold him. Plumlee, if you need rebounds, you hold him. He's not playing a ton, but he does enough on the boards. Don't really need to talk about Booker or Tyus Jones or Kevin Durant. Beal was very good in this one again, so he's sort of alternating. He's good, bad, good, bad. He had 25, 7, and with 3 steals and a block. Obviously a hold. Maybe this is a little bit of a sell high if you think you can pull it off. Iguodaro, interestingly, didn't do a lot here. He had 4 and 5 with a steal and a block, but 25 minutes and Yusuf Nurkic was out of the rotation. So I think this solidifies Nurkic as a drop. I don't think he will stay out of the rotation long term. I don't think this is you're going from starting to nothing in the space of 3 games. It was probably a matchup thing. He did come out after the game and say that he wasn't aware of this going into the game. So it was sort of an on-the-spot decision. So I do think that he will still have a role with this team, but it's pretty clear that it's not going to be enough for him to be anything but a streamer. And let's look at some questions. Shining Knight, yes, I've been helping Shining Knight with with your team. So we'll have a look at what's happening there on Twitter. We're doing that on Twitter. It's much easier. Lone Dez, I'm guessing for the next few games or next few home games for both LA teams will be postponed. Potentially. It's hard to get a read on the Fires over here. I don't know geographically if this is a risk to the arenas. I don't think it is. I haven't heard that anything like that. But obviously just with the devastation in Los Angeles and the impact that it's having on the teams and on the players and their families and things like that, yes, I would assume there might be a couple of more postponed games. I think the Lakers' next game is in LA on Saturday. And as I said, I think their next few are actually in the LA region. I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to go and look at the schedule. But yes, I would prepare for some postponed games, and then we just have to wait. What is the precedent for postponed games being played? It varies. It might be the All-Star break. It's pretty tough to throw it in the middle of the season because this schedule is jam-packed anyway. The All-Star break, maybe they can sort of play or have a game on just before the All-Star break or just after it. Otherwise, it's just looking for a gap in the rotation that suits both teams. They try to do it without having to shuffle pieces around. So they don't want to. So the game today, for example, which was Los Angeles and Charlotte, they don't want to have to squeeze this in to the point where an opposing team of Charlotte later in the season also has to then reschedule a game with Charlotte. They would only want these two teams to be impacted. So there is no precedent as such, but doing it now, like in the next week or two, is going to be tough. I would say it'll be the All-Star break or more towards the back end of the season. As I said this morning, hopefully it is during fantasy season. That's all we can hope for as fantasy managers. What resources do I use for my research? Well, I use Basketball Monster. I use hashtag, obviously. I mean, I use myself, which sounds sort of weird, but I use my own opinions a lot. I listen to podcasts, so I listen to a lot of content. I listen to Josh, Josh Lloyd, Dan Bespris, obviously. I listen to the RotoWire podcasts, which are Alex Barutha, Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz, Kieran Sprecher, Mike Barner. They do four shows a week. I listen to the Roto World podcast, which is Dan Titus, Raphael Johnson, and Noah Rubin. And then there's Insight, which are Maddie G, Skitty, Mally, those guys. They do quite a lot of content as well. Bitches Be Ballin', Between Two Hoops. There's quite a lot. What I might actually do, if you follow me on Twitter, because obviously there's a lot of content and the risk of listening to too many podcasts or too many analysts is that you start to overthink things because we all have different opinions. I don't mind doing it because, as I said, I listen to me ahead of anyone usually. I have to because I have to back myself here. But what I might do is tweet out something after this, just with all of the podcasts that I listen to. I do the Pod Hub, obviously, every day or most days when I can, about the shows that have just come out in the last 12 hours. But what I might do is just tweet out all of the shows so they're all in one block and you can go and have a listen to them and pick which ones you like. You're going to like some people, you're not going to like others, and then that's why it's good to have so many. Do I like Lively or Goga more rest of season? Ooh, it's pretty tough, and I know why you're asking this question. I think Lively is a little bit safer because we don't know what Goga's role is going to look like in a month. I think he will still have a good role, but I think Lively is firmly established himself as the starting center, and assuming he can stay healthy, I think he is probably safer. But I think they're both worth a look. Between Bub Carrington or Keon Johnson, who has the better assist upside? Or should I just get Isaiah Collier? I think Carrington probably does, because Keon Johnson, like, they could, Ben Simmons is probable, I think, tomorrow, or maybe even he might even be off the injury report. D'Angelo Russell will presumably return. Bub Carrington, I think, has this starting point guard role to himself now. So I think Carrington probably has the slightly higher upside. Collier has had some good games here, but we do have Keontae George to come back at some point, so he will impact. So I think probably Carrington is safest there. Ernest bit the bullet and dropped Herb and Keontae for Kamara and Cole Anthony. Too many players out. Should I drop Kamara for Oubre? I think you could. Spoiler, my waiver wire article, which I mentioned there, Kelly Oubre is also in it. So, yeah, I think you could. The Sixers are rarely fully healthy. Embiid's already ruled out tomorrow. And Oubre, he scores, so he certainly has higher upside in the scoring category than Kamara. But he's been doing some defensive stuff and getting good rebound numbers as well. So, yeah, I don't mind Oubre over Kamara. I know I know both are most likely not rest of season value, but who would be better long term? Ben Simmons or Noah Clowney? I mean, they're very different. Clowney has sort of turned into a bit of a point scorer, but Cam Johnson, assuming he stays around, will be back. Cam Thomas will be back. So Clowney will move more to a defensive kind of a target, but he hasn't been doing that so far. So if you don't need points, I'd probably go Simmons, just because he gets assists, rebounds, steals, and he's very efficient on low volume, albeit. But Simmons, I mean, injuries we've seen already. He's got multiple injuries going on at the moment. So Clowney is probably safer in terms of health. So I think if you can take a bit of a risk, I'd go Simmons. If you're just looking for someone to plug in who will be a bit up and down, I'd go Noah Clowney. Okay. Amen had 31, 40, 20 in the last three games since the promotion. His average is 20.2. 3D, similar with two. What average does he settle at? Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big range. He'll be better than tonight. Probably not. I think probably 40. He might settle at 30. 35 to 40. So he'll be better than tonight, I think, quite comfortably. The last game was probably a little bit better than what we'd expect. That 30 game was when he had double-digit rebounds. I can't remember exactly what he had, but I'd say, yeah, maybe 40, 35 to 40. Best stream from Charlotte, Utah. Slim pickings. There is slim pickings, but they both have back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. Charlotte, Utah. Look, Charlotte's tough because this sort of depends on if they play LaMelo and Brandon Miller. There's a chance they rest both of those guys for one of those games, which would mean that there would be streaming value there. But they have been back for a little while now. It's not like they're only just back from their injuries, but Charlotte are bad. So, yeah, I think Utah would probably be better. It's hard without knowing what Keontae is going to do here. Because, I mean, if you need steals, you could look at Collier. If you need some big man stats, I mean, if Sensabaugh comes back, which he's only dealing with an illness, so he could. But often players coming back off an illness have a little bit of a conditioning issue, so they might be somewhat limited. Lauri Markkanen could very well sit one of those back-to-backs based on what we've seen. Jordan Clarkson isn't coming back. So they'd probably be the names I'd look at, but I would potentially wait until we get the injury report for Saturday's games and just see if Markkanen, see if John Collins is back, see if the Hornets look like they're going to rest anyone. Even if we get the injury report for Saturday and LaMelo and Brandon Miller are available, they may be mention of whether they're going to sit the following day. So I would probably try and wait if you can. Tyus, interesting fit now that Booker is running the offense. Yeah, it is a little bit surprising that Booker is, well, maybe it's not. I mean, Tyus Jones has been good, and I think his role is still to handle the ball a lot and to take the pressure off of Booker. He and Grayson now diminish to secondary tertiary ball handlers. Grayson, yes, I mean, especially with Beal in the second unit now. Grayson Allen will just be a spot-up shooter. This could hurt Tyus Jones a little bit, but again, the fact that Beal is not in that starting lineup and Nurkic is also not in the starting lineup, I think Booker will absorb some of that, but it shouldn't have too much of an impact on Tyus Jones, I don't think. How am I going in FBI World Cup? Yeah, not great, I don't think. I'd have to pull it up. Yeah, not great. It's one of my bad teams, I think. Okay, so this is the fire-related question. It's more team members, the arenas are safe. That's what I sort of gathered. Again, I'm not there, but NFL moved the Monday Rams-Vikings playoff game to Phoenix in the interest of public safety. Yeah, I don't know if the NBA will do that. They might. I did hear they had something on our news today about the fact that there's a curfew in place in LA, I think, to prevent looting. That's like the most American thing I've ever heard. That wouldn't even factor into our decision-making here, looting and things like that. So I did hear there's a curfew, so maybe that means that if they do have a game, people aren't allowed to go. I don't know. If you're locked in your house from 6 p.m., maybe they'll be playing at empty arenas. And does that mean the players need to be locked in their apartments? I don't know, or their hotel rooms or whatever. Do I have time to listen to them at work? It is a lot to listen to. So I listen to them at work. I listen to them when I go to bed. I listen to them in my car when I'm driving around, usually driving my daughter places. So it is often 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. At work is when I just get to plug it in and listen to it as I'm working. So that's good. And when I'm at home as well. Shining Knight listens to me and occasionally Old Man Squad. Yeah, Dan's good. Josh is good. Like I said, I like all of them. And obviously I've been on all their shows. I've had them all on my shows and everyone has their own opinion. Drop Zach Edey or Asar Thompson to bring Poole off the IR. Well, let's wait and see if Poole plays first because he's been questionable the last two games and hasn't played. Who would I drop there? It's probably Zach Edey, I think. Just he's very limited to what he does. He does rebounds and blocks. That's really it. And if he's not playing big minutes, not enough. Whereas Sars, we saw tonight, he only played 17 minutes, but he gets you defensive stats. He gets rebounds. He's more of an offensive threat than Zach Edey. So Alex was asking about Charlotte, Utah for points leagues. Was thinking mostly Cody Martin or Bryce. Most likely Keontae if he comes back. Yeah, look, if Keontae comes back, but again, if he does come back, unlikely he plays both games of a back-to-back. Cody Martin is sort of safe because he plays minutes even when they are full health or full strength. So, and Sensabaugh, yes, if he comes back, would be an option there. Lone Dez, yes, a mini bubble. I don't know what they're going to do. And honestly, I don't know if that curfew would impact something like going to an NBA game. I don't know. Waiting for a player to be ruled out for looting over the weekend. Yeah, it's who knows? Who knows what is going to happen in the next week? The NBA continues to deliver new scenarios every week. That will do for today's show. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. I will be back with a pregame show in the morning. I will also be doing the first live episode of Trade Talk with Michael Waterloo at 4 p.m. Eastern. Now, this is reliant on him having power because he is in Georgia somewhere, and apparently there's a lot of snow in Georgia. So if he has power and can access the internet and everything, we will be doing a show at 4 p.m. tomorrow where we look at the most traded players over the last few days. Who were they traded for? Who would we rather? So it's just a way of gauging player values, I think, across multiple leagues. And some of those trades are a bit weird because we don't have context, but it will give us a good topic, I think, to talk about of comparing player A, player B. Who would we rather? Who might be some other players that we would consider in a trade? So hoping that it works well. But yes, we'll be back with both of those shows, fingers crossed, tomorrow. Again, thank you for listening. Please go and download and like and subscribe and do all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.